Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. In this program, we try to answer your questions and queries you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Nakavi, who is an Islamic scholar and a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University, Qom, Iran. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Well, we have been talking about technology and its impact on the teenage upbringing, and Professor Salman Nakavi has been helping us. Professor, what would you like to share with the parents today who are dealing with the teenagers in this tech world?
Yes, as we have been saying all along, that technology should be at the service of mankind. It should be for the benefit of mankind, not the other way around. Yes, we have doomsday scenarios where the machines are going to take over the world and everything. Human beings will be ruled by machines. I mean, it is a possibility, but it's a very remote possibility. It just goes to show to us and demonstrate to us that we need to stop this happening if this
exactly.
could happen.
Again, the same thing, that the tools that we created, we should not become tools of those tools.
Exactly. I mean, there should be some moral authority, and there should be some moral requirements which stop us using technology in a way which is going to be reprehensible, which is going to be something which is going to end up in a very wrong way. For example, now when we're talking about cloning or genetic engineering, so there's great advancement in this. And stem cells research is going on in many places, like in the Islamic Republic of Iran. They're also progressing quite extensively in this field.
Swiftly, yeah.
And these are one of the cutting edge technologies that are in vogue today in the world.
Yeah.
Now, so it's for treatment of many diseases. This is going to help us.
Yeah.
For example, even infertility can be taken care of by this research. Or, for example, even many children who are going to be born into this world with defects, natural defects, maybe that can also be somehow
cured
or prevented or whatever. Even maybe tomorrow you could be able to select what gender of child you want. Maybe that would be possible. But there are some limits to it. I mean, tomorrow genetic engineering can come up with a monster, a cross between a human being and a
monster.
So this is possible. It is within the possibility of mankind to do this, but it is morally wrong. It is something which is going to take us to a disaster.
Right.
So technology has to advance, has to progress, but within limits, within moral limits, within ideological limits. What is allowed, what is not allowed, has to be taken care of. For example, when we talk about the nuclear bomb, atomic bomb, now There's no doubt about it that nuclear technology is very important for mankind. Our children nowadays know about it. Nuclear technology helps in medicine, helps in agriculture, it helps us in generating energy. So tomorrow our children should know it and know that it is going to, these are one of the fields that they can go into. But then again, the nuclear bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the plutonium bomb, they are also the negative aspects
right.
that are not allowed. They are morally disallowed.
Right.
Therefore, we have this ruling and this fatwa of Imam Khamenei, who has very explicitly banned the production of weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Professor, we'll be discussing more with you after a short break. Now, listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. We have Professor Salman Naqvi with us, and we are discussing the impacts of technology on teenage upbringing.
So this is I was discussing the moral aspects, the ideological aspects, the religious aspects of technology. We need to teach our children what's the good about it, what are the bads, what are the goods? The religious edicts about it, the limits which have to be taken care of, they should learn about it. So tomorrow, if they have been trained, if they have been educated, their upbringing has been based on moral principles, on religious principles.
Right.
Then certainly when they become into contact with this technology, whether it's for their personal benefit or it's for the benefit of other human beings, they employ it in their lives. They know what the limits are. They should know that. Otherwise, those people who created the nuclear bomb, if they had been educated morally, they would have resisted.
Right.
They would have resisted the authorities who were making them, paying them to build that bomb.
Right.
So you can't say the scientist who was behind this theory, who discovered nuclear technology or the nuclear aspects or the potential in that field. But those who went to create that technology and created the weapons of mass destruction, they are those human beings who have not been educated morally. Yes, they are offered money, they are offered resources to carry out wrong things. So if our children are taught and educated, look, you're not supposed to do anything for the sake of money. Even if somebody gives you a lot of wealth and a lot of money to build something which is destructive, to do something which is destructive, which is murderous, which is destroys mankind,
right,
then he or she should resist that.
Right.
And that temptation should be, stopped. It should be resisted. So this comes with proper upbringing. It
right.
comes from childhood. But if mm-hmm. child in the childhood, the proper upbringing is not there, a child becomes, he lives with anxiety, with stress, and his feelings and emotions are, they are suppressed, and he wants to do anything he likes in the future.
Right.
So the important thing for our parents is that they should be able to teach their children how to engage with this
technological world. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's really very important, because if we lose that track of recognizing what the problems our teenagers are facing while dealing with the tech, maybe it would be difficult then to cure that, because as soon as the disease is recognized, it could be cured at early. We'll discuss more with you, Professor, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we have Professor Salman Nakawi with us. Well, Professor, do we have any technology in itself? You, as we have been discussing for several sessions now, it has positive impacts, it has negative impacts. But does it have any particular negative impact that parents really need to be concerned about?
Yeah, I think anything that you get addicted to, and it becomes a habit, and you can't cannot change that habit. That's the difficult thing, especially. We, all of us, for example, when there's a phone, Android phone or a smartphone in front of us, we're prone, we become habituated to, you know, all the time we lift it up and we want to, you know, fiddle with it, to do something, to open this application or that application.
We suffer from fear of missing out.
Yes, so we need to, you know, continuously open it and look at it and find, and thereby we are becoming addicted to it. So right. Our children, they become addicted to it much more than us.
Right.
And they need, today, even grown-up people, they have find problems. When we're talking to each other, we're looking at the phone and we're not looking and paying attention to what's
being. So this digital addiction is one thing that parents need to be taking care of.
Parents need to lead by example, that when they're talking, for example, especially when you're in a meeting, when you're going to a gathering, you're going to a social event, then the best thing would be that the rules that should be made in the house, in that gathering, that phones off, please. Okay. Let's turn off our phones, or let's keep our phones outside.
Yeah.
Outside, let's keep a place in the house where all our phones are put. And we say, okay, within this 2 or 3 hours.
Like as we have here in the exercises or swimming sessions, you're not allowed to take phone from the very initial point you enter these halls of exercises or gyms or even the swimming pools. You really are not allowed to take your phones with you. So that's really a big moment. Like I personally have this experience that you, when you are there without phone, you really kind of think about yourself. You have more self-awareness. You get to know more about yourself, who I am, and you come out of that digital addiction.
So you need to, one thing is doing it by making rules and enforcing it by, for example, you're going to a meeting and nowadays these gadgets, they become through this phone tapping is going on. Even if you're not using the phone, this gadget can be used as a eavesdropper. People can, you know, come and they can listen to what you're saying.
Exactly.
So insensitive, when you're talking about sensitive issues, even family issues, it would be much recommended that this phone is kept out of it, because anybody can hack your phone and come to become a participant in your discussion. So these are the downsides. So you need to enforce principles and rules to you somehow get rid of this. Secondly, you need to learn self-restraint and teach your children to to develop this self-restraint. For example, sometimes every time we pass the fridge, we want to open it up and find something in it and pick it up and eat it.
Eat something.
So that temptation is there, even in elders. So how do we, stop that habit? stop that happening, that we're nibbling all the time, eating something here and there, and that's going to make us fat, for example. So we need to, for example, regulate our times for eating. We're not going to eat between these times, for example.
Right.
And secondly, even when we're tempted to open the fridge and our hands are moving towards something which we find sumptuous and we want to drink it or eat it,
right,
the moment our hand is going, we should stop ourselves,
okay,
and close the fridge. So if we do that, we can learn how to, you know, remove these bad habits. And the same goes with the phone. We stop ourselves. If we are tempted to go and pick up the phone and so, immediately we should put it down.
Right, right. So, and so goes right with the digital tech, which has many positive impacts. But at the same time, if it leads to an addiction, it could negatively impact the teenager's physical and mental upbringing, his academic performance, and can actually interfere in the sleep patterns and also reduce the amount of time that he spends in exercising and outdoor activities. Thank you so much, Professor. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you